Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Etiquette for Dummies, Second Edition, by Sue Fox. Narrated by Kelsey Navarro. Limit of Liability, Disclaimer of Warranty. The publisher and the author make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this work, and specifically disclaim all warranties, including, without limitation, warranties of fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales or promotional materials. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for every situation. This work is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If professional assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. Neither the publisher nor the author shall be liable for damages arising herefrom. The fact that an organization or website is referred to in this work as a citation and/or a potential source of further information does not mean that the author or the publisher endorses the information the organization or website may provide, or recommendations it may make. Further, readers should be aware that internet websites listed in this work may have changed or disappeared between when this work was written and when it is read. Introduction. Your time will come. When you least expect it, you'll receive an invitation to a banquet where each table setting involves more utensils than you have in your entire silverware drawer at home. Your company's annual holiday party will be designated semi-formal, and you won't even have a clean tie. You'll buy exactly 4 steaks for Sunday dinner with your in-laws, and they'll bring along 2 cousins you never even knew existed. Life is full of moments when you don't know exactly what to do. But have no fear. A little bit of etiquette can help you through. Yes, etiquette deals with which fork to use for the salad course and concerns your behavior at cocktail receptions. But etiquette is a much broader issue. Etiquette is your key to surviving every human contact with your sense of humor and self-esteem intact and your reputation enhanced. Etiquette works in supermarket checkout lines, at family picnics, at company holiday parties, on the phone, online, and yes, at wedding receptions. Remember that there's no such thing as a vacation from good manners. Politeness works everywhere, all the time, and is all about taking the lead, making guests feel welcome, taking the time to evaluate the needs and intentions of others, and behaving in a way that ensures a pleasant outcome. At home, your polite behavior helps everyone in your family develop self-esteem. On the job, good manners encourage others to work well with you. As you go about your errands and chores, polite contacts with others earn you pleasant and helpful responses. As Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "Your manners are always under examination, and by committees little suspected, awarding or denying you very high prizes when you least expect it." Unfortunately today, many people are exhibiting less civility toward one another, and children are following suit with teachers and peers in the classroom. The point is that everyone should do his best to set a good example and put others first. And that's a point that you hear again and again in this book. Etiquette for Dummies, Second Edition, can help you find a way to put others at ease in almost any situation. About this book. You certainly can't find a shortage of books loaded with so-called rules of etiquette. This book contains rules, too. But as I approach the subject from the perspective of an ordinary person faced with social situations that are just a bit challenging, if you have time to put up your feet and read this book from cover to cover, you can come away with a working knowledge of etiquette in all its aspects. On the other hand, if you just received an invitation to a party and you aren't sure how to dress or how to behave, you can turn to the appropriate section in this book, find the information you need, and head out to the party with confidence. Foolish assumptions. As I wrote this book, I made the following assumptions about you, dear reader. You want to build better relationships with your family, friends, coworkers, and other important folks in your life through good etiquette. You seek information on how to behave with courtesy and consideration, no matter the situation. Whether you're addressing an in-law, answering your cell phone, opening a gift, or attending a special function. You may want to provide guidance to someone in your life who needs help with the finer points of etiquette. You may want to have a competitive advantage in a growing work environment, and good manners just might do the trick. You just want to refresh what you already know, or clear up confusions about the complexities of contemporary etiquette, such as the etiquette rules for new technologies. For whatever reason you're reading this book, remember to always trust your instincts, because your gut feeling can be quite powerful and can help you come out feeling better about yourself and those around you. How this book is organized. I've organized this book into parts and then chapters by specific topics and situations. You don't need to read any previous section to understand the one that interests you. Just plunge in anywhere and get what you need. Following is a description of each part and what you can find in it. Part 1. Starting down the road to better etiquette. In this part, I focus on you. I explain how to take pride in your own manners, give and receive compliments, and rise above rudeness. I also tell you all about how to keep yourself neatly groomed and how to send the right messages with your body language. And if you need to figure out what you should wear to a semi-formal or formal event, or if you need to get to the bottom of this business casual thing, look no further than this part of the book. Part 2. Fostering well-mannered relationships. Etiquette is all about putting others at ease. The result is that you build better relationships, whether it's with the members of your family, your friends, or your coworkers. This part walks you through each type of relationship, giving you advice about making all your relationships better. I also address the particulars of gender relations, an especially tricky area in modern times. Do you hold the door for her or don't you? Do you allow him to pay the tab or not? This part of the book has the answers. Part 3. Converse with care, saying everything right. Good communication is essential in good relationships, and thus an essential part of etiquette. This part explains how to handle yourself gracefully on paper, on the telephone, online, and in face-to-face conversations. I also include a chapter on business communication and the particular issues associated with communicating in the workplace. Part 4. That's entertainment. Meals, parties, and gifts. Many etiquette questions come up when you're planning to host a party or dinner. This part provides quite a bit of useful material for uncertain hosts who want to provide a good time for all guests. I also explain how to be a gracious guest who will definitely be invited back, and how to both give and receive with the best of manners. You also receive a dose of proper table manners and discover the art of selecting, ordering, and tasting wine. Part 5. Making the most of special situations. Special occasions are times that put many people into a panic, because normal behavior may no longer apply. The chapters in this part address those special situations, such as weddings, funerals, baptisms, and bar and bat mitzvahs. I also cover travel, both local and international, as well as the special etiquette that's required when you're interacting with someone who has a physical disability or illness. Part 6. The Part of Tens. This part contains 3 quick chapters that give you small, easily digestible bits of information. Here, you can find hints on teaching etiquette to children and tips on tipping. Icons used in this book. Every For Dummies book uses icons to help you navigate your way through the text and to point out particularly noteworthy information. You will hear the icons verbalized in this audiobook. Here's what the icons in this book tell you. Remember, this icon highlights important information that you need to bear in mind. Tip. The tip icon indicates etiquette pointers that can help you get through a particular situation with ease. Warning. Pay special attention to this icon that alerts you of areas you can trip up on if you aren't careful. Faux pas. If you see this icon, you can find out about faux pas to avoid at all costs. Where to go from here? So what now? You may use this book as a reference guide, reading any section that interests you. But if you're new to this etiquette thing, I recommend starting off with the basics in Part 1. There, you can get the information you need to set a solid foundation for future good manners. Even if you feel like you have basic manners down pat, a little review never hurt anyone. If you have a specific situation or event in which you need some etiquette coaching, Part 4 and 5 offer chapters on a variety of topics. For example, if you've been invited to a wedding and you aren't sure what to wear or what to bring, check out Chapter 18. Or maybe you want to host a dinner party at your home. If so, Chapter 14 is where you want to start. Part 1. Starting down the road to better etiquette. In this part. This part explores the basic questions of why knowing how to treat each other and behaving in a polite and considerate manner hasn't gone out of style. I touch on how good manners apply to your life and ways for you to extend courtesy to everyone. You'll be a model of good manners in no time. And why knowing how to best present yourself can get you started down the road to better etiquette. Chapter 1. Examining Etiquette Basics. In this chapter, taking a close look at your own manners, making a positive impression, showing civility to all folks, using the right words in every situation, entertaining with class, handling special occasions and circumstances. Good manners are all about making people feel comfortable all the time. Believe me, being polite isn't just for high society, formal events, and the boardroom. Good manners are badly needed everywhere, every day. This chapter provides an overview of etiquette basics. You discover guidelines on everything from presenting yourself positively to handling special occasions with ease. As you read, grade yourself on how you generally conduct yourself right now, noting where you can improve and bring some style and poise into your behavior. It won't go unnoticed or unrewarded for long. Remember, people have relaxed some rules of etiquette in this century, but you'll find that the ones you read about in this book will last you for the rest of your life. Being rude or unkind will never be in style. And remember, when in doubt, treat other people as you would want to be treated yourself. Taking pride in your own manners. Everyone can greatly benefit by relearning and sometimes revisiting traditional good manners as they apply to their lives. The first order of any study is to examine how it affects you and how you can make a difference. Are you well-versed in the ways of etiquette? People are often confused by the complex combination of traditional etiquette and contemporary values. What was once considered a show of respect may now unintentionally offend. In fact, what many once considered acceptable isn't any longer. So how do you know which rules apply? Remember, generally you should always observe etiquette rules that both value human beings and show courtesy. And you should also behave respectfully to everyone, regardless of gender. Why? Because civility builds character and self-esteem. It creates a serene environment and shows regard for yourself and others. Here are a few common courtesies to start you off. Speak softly. Reply when someone speaks to you. Always say please, thank you, and excuse me. Give and receive compliments sincerely. Give people space. Don't crowd. For more on how to take pride in your manners, see Chapter 2. Making sure to present yourself positively. People may try to avoid passing judgment too quickly, but at first meetings, they inevitably assess others by how they look. First impressions. You only get one chance. Psychologists say that most people form impressions of others in the first 4 minutes after their initial meeting, and that 80% of their impression is based on nonverbal signs. In other words, what comes out of your mouth has very little to do with how people judge you. And after a first impression is made, getting people to change that judgment is very hard. Remember, how you dress, groom yourself, and handle yourself in public is all part of your packaging. Like product packaging, you can present yourself to be most appealing, and you can present yourself differently according to the time and place. For example, your appearance should differ depending on your geographic area. how you dress and act in Yellowstone National Park as opposed to Midtown Manhattan. Tip: here are a few important guidelines for an appropriate presentation. Being casual doesn't extend to poor grooming. Always be clean and neat. Avoid clothing extremes, revealing clothing, and evening or party wear in the workplace. Don't sacrifice comfort for trends or fashion. Use good taste, or get help figuring out what is tasteful. You don't need a millionaire's budget to be perceived as confident and self-assured. As important as clothes and makeup are to your image, posture and how you carry yourself are essential parts of the package. When you stand with a slouch or sit with a slump, you're telling others that you don't feel confident and you'd like to be left alone. On the other hand, when your head is erect, your gaze outward, and your backbone as straight as Mother Nature made possible, you're inviting others to meet with you on equal terms. For more on making a positive impression, see Chapter 3. Extending courtesy to everyone in your life. You may feel like you have a lot of rules to follow in order to behave appropriately in all situations. Clearly, one of the most important aspects is getting along with those close to you and with those you interact with on a daily basis. In the following sections, I give you some guidance on being courteous to family, friends, dates, and business colleagues. Family. Behaving like a polite adult all the time isn't easy, and unfortunately, as time passes, familiarity often leads to shortcuts in considerate communication. However, you can't find a better place to practice good manners than in your own home. Treating your family with respect and exhibiting polite behavior contributes to a peaceful environment and refuge from daily aggravations. Remember a few of the following tips. For more in-depth advice, check out Chapter 4. Go ahead and say those nice things. Don't just enjoy a meal, say that you enjoyed it. Be considerate of your better half and children by respecting their privacy. Don't snoop. Knock before you enter a room and practice being a good listener. Treat your family members as if they were honored guests. Their responses may surprise you. Friends and relationships. You have many reasons to figure out good manners and follow the rules of etiquette, especially in personal relationships. Treating others with respect, kindness, and consideration creates meaningful friendships and leads to self-fulfillment. I listed just a few important guidelines here. See Chapter 5 for the full scoop on the art of friendships and relationships. Create boundaries and set limits. Discover how to communicate clearly to avoid misunderstandings. Express delight in other people's accomplishments. Don't give advice unless asked. Figure out when you need to agree to disagree. Never break an appointment with friends in favor of a date. Business colleagues. In business relationships today, you need to know how to conduct yourself properly in a variety of situations. Your ability to respectfully respond to certain individuals and situations can not only put others at ease, but also build your self-confidence. Remember that your behavior is observed and judged daily by employers, clients, and coworkers, and your ability to establish effective working relationships with others can make or break your career. Remember, regardless of what your job is, you can count on the following do's and don'ts of making a positive impression in the business world. Never keep people waiting. If you can't avoid being late, call ahead, and after you arrive, remember to apologize. Dress appropriately at all times. When in doubt, always dress conservatively. Look at management for ideas and stay with well-made, tasteful clothes. If your company has a dress code, follow it. Keep a cheerful, positive attitude. Don't be a complainer, and always think before you speak. Stay away from gossip, offensive language, or off-color jokes. Head to Chapter 6 for additional details about etiquette in the workplace. Saying the right thing. Communication is an essential part of being courteous to others, whether you're conversing, writing a letter, talking on the phone, or chatting on the internet. What you say reflects who you are. So you want your words to build others up, rather than tear them down in any way. And while not everyone is a natural communicator, you can figure out some simple communication tools so you don't come across rude or lacking confidence. In the following sections, I provide you with etiquette know-how on various methods of communication. Polite conversation. A conversation is when two or more people discuss different topics, exchange ideas, share information, and give each other an opportunity to contribute. Having a conversation is the best way to find out what other people like, think, and need. It's what people do to get to know one another. During a chat, always think of the other person. Show your interest by asking questions about her. Asking questions that require more of an answer than yes or no graciously brings the other person into the conversation. For example, instead of asking, "Oh, is that a new shirt?" you may want to say, "I really like your shirt. It looks great on you. Where did you find it?" Another objective of polite conversation is to be aware of how you say something. The tone of your voice is just as important as what you say. Do your best not to ever use profanity or name call, and try to respond politely and with respect, even if you're angry. The old adage of "don't say anything if you can't say something nice" still applies. Remember, a few additional key elements of a good conversation include the following: good eye contact and body language, active listening, not interrupting, not monopolizing the conversation, responding and contributing to the conversation, using polite words such as please, thank you, and excuse me, not talking where others can overhear and be put off, avoiding gossip. See Chapter 7 for more information on engaging in polite conversation. Correspondence. Interested in writing a letter? Before you begin, you need a few essentials, such as proper stationery, a writing utensil, envelopes, and stamps. A letter also should have the following proper formatting: address, date or dateline, salutation, main body with headings, closing phrase, signature. Remember, with the formatting down, it's time to write your letter with the right words. The basic rule of etiquette in any circumstance, including written communication, is to have and to show consideration for the other party. If you just stop and think how the other person is likely to receive your communication, you can go a long way in preventing misunderstandings and not giving offense. To find out more about correspondence, see Chapter 8. The telephone. Hello. The telephone seems to bring out either the best or the worst in people. If someone is looking for an opportunity to be rude and unmannerly, the telephone provides the perfect avenue. On the other hand, you can bring out the very best in the person on the other end of the line by going the extra mile to be courteous. You can also bring out the best in yourself when using the telephone. Tip: a few elements to keep in mind when speaking on the phone or leaving messages are: always adjust your tone to be appropriate to the situation. Enunciate clearly, so the person on the other end can understand you. Consider whether you're calling at an appropriate or convenient time. Ask the person you've called whether the time is convenient, or if they would like you to return the call at another time. When leaving messages on others' voicemails, speak clearly, slowly, and briefly, and tell the person why you called and when she can call you back. Whether or not the person you're calling has your number, show courtesy by leaving it anyway. Say the number and area code at the beginning of your message and again at the end. Remember, even if the purpose of your call is unpleasant, such as to make a complaint to a store, sounding pleasant can get the conversation off on the right foot and make the recipient of your call more inclined to help you in an equally pleasant manner. Take the opportunity to reinforce your friendships and social and business contacts by exercising your very best manners when using the phone. For more on using the phone, including cell phones, voicemail, answering machines, caller ID, and teaching telephone etiquette to children, see Chapter 9. The World Wide Web. Remember, My grandfather always said to never put down in writing what you don't want someone else to read. This saying is a great one to remember when you write emails and send communications over the net. Because you're putting your correspondence into the written word, anyone who receives it can copy, edit, change, store, or otherwise manipulate your message. What you send may be printed for future review. So make sure you never appear rude, intrusive, crass, arrogant, uneducated, or plain lazy. Here are a few general tips for communicating on the internet. Always use the subject line to state the purpose of your email. Keep sentences short, clear, and to the point. Spell out words and don't use acronyms. Otherwise, your reader may not understand what you're saying. Limit subject matters. People like to read short emails. Use words that are simple, clear, and concise. Always use a greeting and salutation. Warning. The internet is a wonderful source of information and, of course, presents a great ability to share information and have fun. Saying that, it can also be a terrible and frightening place, especially for children and unaware users. I recommend that parents take control of their children's computers and place control and security procedures in place. For more details and guidelines minding your cyberspace manners, see Chapter 10. Business communication. Communication is essential in business, just as it is in personal life. Check out Chapter 11 for a crash course on the following essential tasks and more. Making introductions. Addressing your staff, colleagues, and boss. Communicating successfully at meetings. Making the most of special business events. Handling phone calls, voicemail, faxes, and emails. Writing business letters. Will knowing the proper way to handle these challenges really make a difference in your career or help you get ahead? Absolutely. A big deal: entertaining and being entertained with style. Entertaining plays an important role in your life, one that is universal to all types of people in every segment of society. Entertaining can do the following: provide you with invaluable moments, the sharing of your time, home, food, and families. Provide you an avenue through which new relationships and memories are made, ideas are exchanged, and business alliances are formed. Lift your spirits by rescuing you from the same old routine. You just never know what may transpire. When you take time to enjoy the pleasure of another's company, the possibilities are endless. In the following sections, I outline the important elements of entertaining and being entertained. Dining and drinking. Polite dining at the table, whether formal or informal, has been one of the codes of behavior that has always set human beings apart from animals. Human beings may also be animals, but they think and converse with each other, and this sets people apart from all other creatures. Nowhere else is a person's difference from beasts more evident than in his eating manners and social behavior. Saying the words dining etiquette, and many people automatically conjure up images of old, stuffy rules of behavior at the dinner table. And long ago, those rigid rules were needed. Formal dining still reflects this level of etiquette, but today, dining has become simplified. Remember, table manners and dining etiquette are just a means to an end. Knowing how to enjoy the finer things in life, good company, good food, and good conversation, is the backbone of a great dining experience. Knowing proper etiquette simply gives you more confidence in embracing new dining experiences, whether it's dinner at the White House, job interviews over a meal, or brunch at your best friend's home. Dining etiquette today is more important than ever. Faux pas. Don't eat your food like a vacuum cleaner picking up dust. Take time to talk with those around you and finish when everyone else finishes. Food was meant to be enjoyed, not merely ingested. Behaving politely at the table, whether informal or not, hasn't disappeared or gone out of style. To find out what to do before dining begins, during the meal, and afterward, see Chapter 12. For details on the wonders of wine, head to Chapter 13. Throwing a get-together. Being an outstanding host comes naturally for some, but this skill can be learned. What does it mean to be an outstanding host? Simply
sample complete. Ready to continue?